Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm, and it's time now for Dorothy's List, our monthly book club for kids. This month, we go to Berry City School, where reading teacher Kathy Blake and her fifth graders got a special visit from Vermont author Linda Urban. The class had just finished reading Urban's novel, The Center of Everything, which is nominated for the Dorothy Canfield Fisher Children's Book Award. VPR's Amy Noyes was there, too.
For New Hampshire sixth grader Ruby Pepperdine, the center of everything is up on the roof of Pepperdine Motors, stargazing with her grandmother Gigi.
"That's Orion," Gigi said one wintry night, "three stars in a line. That's his belt. See him, Ruby?" Ruby was little back then, and the sky had looked like one big sheet of stars to her. It wasn't until her grandma Gigi wrapped an arm around her and pointed, and Ruby's eyes followed the line of that arm to Gigi's mittened fingertip and out beyond, that Ruby found those particular stars in the sky and drew the invisible connections between them.
That's author Linda Urban reading from The Center of Everything. In the book, after Gigi dies, Ruby has one big regret. She didn't listen to the last thing her grandmother tried to tell her. She makes a special 12th birthday wish that she could go back and listen to what Gigi had to say. And deep down, Ruby also wishes she could be back up on the roof of Pepperdine Motors, in the circle of Gigi's hug, looking out at the stars. And there are some favorite moments these Berry City fifth graders wish they could relive, too.
"My moment is when my mom, dad, brother, and I went to Disney. And we, like, were relaxing and we got to do a little bit of bonding."
"Well, my moment to relive is when me and my dad stayed up almost all night to watch comets. We went into a dark field and saw the biggest comet I ever saw. And it was, like, big and bright."
When my dad and my brother and I sat on the roof and watched the stars.
"The moment I would want to relive is when I went down to Florida.
When my family had a reunion and everybody was there, and that was before my great-grandmother passed away, so it was really fun."
When I first went to Disney World and I went on the Space Mountain roller coaster.
"The time that I went to a Lego festival place."
"The moment when I saw my grandpa before he died."
"The time I got to visit my grandmother's grave for the very first time because she died before my big brother was born, so none of us really got to meet her, and it was a very special moment for me."
That was Emily Morris, Tiffany Paluto, Carson King, Jacob Lamphere, Emily Grace Spaulding, Cadence Stevens, Kyle Koash, Sydney Ferrer, and Eleanor Steinman. Linda Urban recently visited their sixth grade reading group at Berry City School. Emily Morris asked the author what moment she would relive if she could.
"I have been listening to all of your moments, and so many of them are about family connections or about something that was really exciting and out of the ordinary for you, and these moments really stand out. The moment I'd want to relive most isn't really fair to my son because he wasn't around yet. But I think the birth of my daughter was a pretty amazing moment. Me and my husband and then this beautiful, amazing, tiny baby that I made. It was really a great moment."
Berry City middle schooler Eleanor Steinman asked about the story behind the novel.
"What inspired you to write The Center of Everything?"
Linda Urban said it all started with the writing prompt. "What I should have said was..."
"So I sat down with my writer's notebook and I said, what I should have said was, and I remembered a time with my dad. And it was the last day that he was alive. And he tried to tell me something that scared him. And I was only 17, I had just turned 17. And what scared him really scared me. And so I said to him, no, don't tell me. And I've always wished that instead I had said yes."
It was a whole year later at the Montpelier 4th of July parade when Linda Urban noticed something else that eventually brought her back to that writing exercise.
"And I was standing there looking at this little girl in front of me, and she had sweaty curls, and she was so eager for this parade to start. And I thought, what is she so excited about? What could it be that she wants to have happen? And then what happens to writers happened. I thought, what if What if there was something that she needed or wanted? Or what if she had made a wish and she thought that wish might come true and it had something to do with the parade? I never put those two moments together, or at least I didn't, for weeks and weeks. I just kept writing about parades and wondering what she was thinking about. And then somewhere down the line in the writing process, in one of these notebooks, the two came together. And that's when I believed that I actually had a story to tell.
And a year and a half and many drafts later, she had a manuscript ready to publish.
So I wanted to show you, I brought, these are just a few of the drafts. See this?
Yeah.
And these are only the ones I printed out. I don't print out every draft.
Ruby has two friends we get to know in the center of everything. One is her best friend, Lucy, who commands a lot of Ruby's attention. The other is Nero. Fifth grader Cadence Stevens wanted to learn more about him and his reputation of being that kid who's always asking questions in school.
How did you come up with Nero's personality and his big question-asking thing?
Sometimes, often actually, when I write, I just start writing and the words and the characters show up. And Nero was a gift. He just showed up, started asking questions, started being his inquisitive, turn the world on its head self. And I thought that that was actually really useful as a counterpoint to Ruby, who so wants the world to be predictable, who wants to know what the rules are so she can follow them so that things will work out okay. And it was really useful to have a sympathetic, nice, funny character who doesn't see the world that way at all, so that Ruby's eyes can be opened.
Nero gives people funny nicknames, like calling Ruby Ruby Tuesday after the Rolling Stones song. Barry City middle schooler Kyle Koash noticed how Nero's comic relief came by virtue of his own name, Nero De Niro.
I was wondering what made you think of the characters' names like Ruby and Nero and Lucy.
Thanks, Kyle. Sometimes my characters have very meaningful names. In my first book, A Crooked Kind of Perfect, for example, there is a character named Colton Shell, and the girl who gets to know him only gets to know his outsides. And so the shell part of that was really important to me. Sometimes, though, I just like the way names sound. And I think saying Ruby Pepperdine is fun to say. Nero, poor Nero De Niro, what a name, huh?
Yeah.
He does not like that name. And you'll notice that his older siblings all have D names, right? Like Denise. And in my head, Nero was named by his siblings, that they were all tired of D names, and so they named him something else, and he got stuck with Nero. Often, I choose names because of how they sound and how I think the character would respond to them. And I love Nero's frustration with his name and how that gets him to be a questioner, the kind of kid that he is.
Fifth grader Jacob Lamphere wanted to dig a little deeper into one of the themes of the book.
Ruby talks a lot about destiny. Why is so much of your book about destiny?
Well, that is a big question, because it's one I ask all the time, and I asked when I was your age too. Right? I wanted to know if I followed the rules, would things be okay? I wanted to know if my choices made a difference. And one of the reasons I wrote this book is because I think that a lot of adults don't give you guys, your age, credit for having these thoughts. I think many people don't remember their childhood very well, and they think childhood was all roses and Santa Claus and happy-go-lucky things, and they forget that when we're 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, we are asking big questions about how the world works and what our place is in it, and how we're connected or not connected to the people around us. And I wanted this book to explore those things, and your questions are really leading us in that direction too. They tell me that you're thinking these things.
Although much of their conversation centered around heavy themes, when it came time for the kids at Barry City School to say goodbye to author Linda Urban, they gave her a lighthearted send-off. For VPR News, I'm Amy Noyes.
The book is The Center of Everything by East Montpelier author Linda Urban. Next month, our book is Prisoner 88 by Leah Pileggi. Here's an excerpt read by Barrie City School fifth grader Cadence Stevens.
Big book. You are now officially Prisoner 88 of the Idaho Territorial Penitentiary. Was I a number now instead of a name? I opened my mouth to ask him, but Mr. Norton, with arms like logs, leaned forward. Says you're in here for manslaughter, is that so? Yes, sir. Well, that's what they said. I thought this was a mistake, said Mr. Norton, sending us a kid out here. He picked through some papers and then held one up. You got 5 years? I lifted my hands with them cuffs on, trying to scratch at my head. I told him, ain't no mistake, mister, it's me.
That's an excerpt from Prisoner 88. It's the next book in our monthly series, Dorothy's List. Our series is sponsored by the VPR Journalism Fund.